tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hello, welcome to part two of our series, God, Money, and the Pandemic. I've heard from multiple people about how impactful last week's service was. In fact, multiple people reached out and said that because of last week's service, they have started a budget or they have met with someone who is further along the financial journey than they are. And I absolutely love that. If you missed last week, make sure you check out our podcast at nextlevelchurch.net, or you can check it out on iTunes. You can also watch the playback of the series in its entirety at our website or on our Vimeo page. Well, some people might say that this is a horrible time to talk about money. We're in a pandemic. Like, this is, we don't want to hear God and what he has to say about money, and just the church just wants our money. I get all those, and I've heard all those, and I even feel all those. But I would push back on that. I feel like this is the perfect time to talk about money. There's a lot of people who have financial questions and have financial concerns and have financial worries. There's a lot of people who are Christians who have some concerns. There's a lot of people who are non-Christians, and I think that it's important for them to even hear what God has to say about finances. Why? Because God has a lot to say about our money. In fact, the Bible contains roughly 500 verses on prayer and faith, but catch this, 2,300 verses on money, wealth, and possessions. Jesus spoke about money roughly 15% of his preaching. Approximately 40% of Jesus' parables deal with money. In fact, money was the most talked about subject that Jesus had out of everything that he talked about. In fact, money and possessions is the second most talked about topic in the entire Bible. It is talked about more than even heaven and hell. So it's obvious that God has a lot to say about our wealth and about giving. And what I wanted to do in this series is I wanted to have a very practical, a very real, a very helpful series on our finances and on money, and just give some practical takeaways. My hope is that you would feel that this has benefited you, that you would walk away from this saying that you've learned something new, that you were inspired, and that you heard what God has to say about our finances. Well, I recently heard a sermon from Pastor Andy Stanley from North Point Community Church. And the sermon absolutely rocked my world, little country girl. In fact, it was so impactful that I reached out to Andy Stanley and I asked if he would be available for me to interview him on Zoom. I thought, while we're on online only services during this pandemic, maybe he would have some time. And what other time could we bring in Andy Stanley into our church? And so I sent him a message, and I'm still waiting to hear back. I never heard back. I never got a reply, but I did find out that the message that I heard was available. And so I want to show you a portion of what Andy Stanley is teaching. And the reason I want to show it to you is because I think it is insanely helpful and practical. And once Andy is done, I'm going to come back to wrap up our final in this series, part two of God, Money, and the Pandemic.
Thank you so much for joining me. You may be excited to be a part of this discussion, or you may be here against your will and you're going to give this like one shot, and if you don't love it, you're not coming back. And I get it. I mean, talking about money makes people nervous. Agreeing to spend hours talking about money, well, I don't know, you may feel like this is punishment, but I promise if you'll stick with me, our time together may be a turning point for you in lots of ways, including financially. Usually, isn't it true you're the one telling your money what to do? Buy me some groceries, pay the mortgage, go into savings. But what if instead we allowed our money to talk to us? What if we invited our money to pull up a chair and give us some advice? What would our money say if our money talked? Now, the truth is, some of us would probably rather not hear from our money. We already know what it might tell us. It would probably sound like a disappointed parent. You know, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And for good reason, because some of our financial decisions in hindsight, well, they really don't make much sense. And we'd expect our money advice to be, well, pretty much common sense. See what I did there? anyway, sorry. Anyway, we'd expect our money to say pretty much the same things that a financial planner would say, or maybe an accountant would say, or maybe a wise parent. But what might surprise you, hopefully pleasantly surprise you, is this. What our money would say if our money could talk actually matches what Jesus said when he did talk about money 2,000 years ago. Now, if you grew up around church, you've probably heard this before, but Jesus actually said more about money than just about everything else. In fact, he said more about money than he did heaven, but not because he needed any. In fact, best we can tell, Jesus never even asked for any. He wasn't after people's money. He was after something else, but it wasn't their money. More on that later. Now, before we get to the first thing our money might tell us if our money started talking, I want to ask you a question. And I know this is going to sound like a strange question, but here's the question. What do you do with your spare money? Not your spare change, your extra dollars, your spare dollars, the ones that you don't really need. And it's not a trick question. And if you're thinking, Andy, who has spare dollars laying around? Sometimes I'll spare a dollar for a good cause, but I don't have any extra money, and I certainly don't have any extra money laying around. And technically that's true. You don't have extra money just laying around, but you do have extra. Have you ever taken a vacation? Have you taken a vacation in the past couple of years? Do you have a car? Do you have more than one car? Do your kids have a car? Does your car have its own little house? Have you ever driven a perfectly good car to a car lot and then left it there and drove away in another perfectly good car but newer model that you use some of your extra money to purchase? How about this? When you went to purchase your current cell phone, did you walk into the store with a perfectly good cell phone in your pocket? Of course you did. You see, people with extra, we don't wait for things to break. We upgrade. We trade things in. Or how about this? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever gone into your kitchen, a kitchen that has countertops, a microwave, an oven, a refrigerator, and then ripped it all out, and then used some of your spare money to replace it all with countertops, a refrigerator, a microwave, and an oven? Do you have so much spare money that you actually pay someone to keep track of it for you? Like someone else's job is to take care of all of your money and invest it so it turns into more extra money? So when I put it like that, what do you know? You do have spare money, you just don't feel like you do. And the reason why you don't feel like you do is a word we don't talk much about. It's the G word. It's greed. It's hard to see greed in the mirror. Now, I can see greed in your mirror, but it's hard for me to see greed in my mirror. In fact, I've never had a conversation with anybody who was having financial problems who said, my problem is greed. Greedy people say things like this: I'm just careful. I'm a good money manager. I'm a saver. Again, it is very difficult to see greed in the mirror, and yet greed is behind much of our financial struggle, and greed is behind a lot of our financial stress. Maybe a definition would help. Greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption. You see, you can be poor and greedy, or you can be rich and greedy. Greed has nothing to do with an amount of money. It has everything to do with an assumption about money. So your dollars become things. They become a house. They become things in your house. They become a car. You just consume, consume, consume. Or maybe you do the opposite. Some of you don't spend all of your extra money. You hoard yours. Of course, we don't call it hoarding. We call it saving. But the same assumption that drives some people to spend, spend, spend is the same assumption that drives some people, maybe you, to save, save, save. Because who are you saving it for? For you. After all, it's yours. Different habits, same assumption. The consumption assumption. And most of us are guilty. We don't feel like we have spare money because we either consume it now, spending, buying, upgrading, or we stash it away in the bank or our 401k to consume later. But either way, it's for me. It's for me now, or it is for me later. And Jesus says that is a faulty assumption. And he points to a completely different way of viewing our money. And when we begin to view our money the way he does, it changes not just our finances. Honestly, it changes everything. It gets us off the treadmill of more, 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 me, me, me. It's a completely different paradigm, and it leads to freedom, contentment, and ultimately satisfaction. Here's how Jesus introduced this topic. Here's what he said. He said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." There's our word, greed. He's saying to those of us making the consumption assumption, spending it all, saving it all, assuming that everything that comes to us is for us, he says, hold up, wait a minute. Then he continues. He says, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. In other words, life is more than stuff. It's more than our possessions or even our potential to acquire more possessions. And the fact is, most of us, think about this, most of us are going to run out of time before we run out of stuff. We're going to run out of time before we run out of money. We're going to die with a whole lot of stuff left over. Stuff somebody's going to pick through, sell, and then perhaps just throw the rest away. You see, if life consisted of possessions, we would run out of life the moment we ran out of possessions. And while we know that's not the case, it is so easy to fall into the trap of living as if life is nothing more than the accumulation of more. Jesus' point is something our money might point out if our money could talk. If our money could talk, it may say something like this: I can add meaning to your life, but I am not the meaning of life. I can add meaning to your life, but I'm not the meaning of life. Money, your money and my money, would remind us that it doesn't get much play at funerals, does it? Other than how much was given away. Earning money, chasing it, spending it, that's not the point of life. Money is not the meaning. It is, and this is where we're going, it is a means, it is a tool for doing something meaningful. It has the potential to make your life meaningful. Imagine if that was the frame of reference for your finances. Every spending decision, the way you save, the way you plan for the future, regardless of how much or little you have, what if when you had some to spare, when you had some extra, you thought to yourself, wow, I have extra. How can I make the extra a means to something meaningful? How can I make it a means to an end that goes, well, that goes beyond me? What would it look like to live free of the consumption assumption? Instead of making every dollar that comes your way a means to something newer or shinier or maybe renovated, what if you began to view your money as a means to making your life more meaningful? Meaningful rather than just full of stuff. Now, if you had been thinking this way for the past 10 years, your personal finances would look very different. In fact, you would have less stuff, but you would have less debt, you would have more margin, and this is a big one, you would actually probably have more savings. More on that later. Now, all of us make financial decisions based on some assumptions, whether we've ever stopped to identify those assumptions or not. And since your financial assumptions govern the way you manage your personal finances, you should know what those assumptions are, don't you think? So this week, that's what we're going to do. We're going to sit down and discover our financial assumption. I need to warn you, you might have to make some adjustments. You may even have to break a financial habit or two. And if that scares you, it shouldn't, because no one who applies what Jesus says about money to their personal finances ever regrets it. Their only regret is that they didn't start sooner. Besides, you can't be a fully devoted follower of Christ and not invite Him into the realm of your personal finances. Christ can't be the Lord of your life when you've got Him on one side saying, here's what I want you to do, and you've got Visa on the other side saying, yeah, but let me tell you what you have to do because of what you already did. And be honest, you felt that tension, right? You feel like God is nudging you to be generous to your local church, maybe a local charity or an after-school program, but before you can find your checkbook, American Express starts nudging you in the other direction. That money's already spent. Or once you find your checkbook, you find yourself hesitating to add that extra zero because, well, just because. You feel generous, but you can't be generous, and you can't seem to make yourself be generous. Or in some instances, you just won't be generous. And why? Well, because you have fallen victim of a consumption assumption. So this is a really big deal. This goes way beyond the realm of personal finances. This is about who's in charge of your life. It's about whether your life will simply be full of stuff or perhaps full of meaning. In this way, financial issues actually become spiritual issues, don't they? What you do with your money is an indicator of who and whose you are.
I hope you found that helpful. I absolutely love Pastor Andy Stanley. He is my all-time favorite preacher. And so our series is ending today, but that doesn't mean that your journey to honor God with your finances has to end. In fact, it takes us to our win for today. Today's win is identify what your next step is when it comes to God and your finances. Now, For some of you, it's clear right away. You know, just by listening to last week and this week, you know what your next step is. Others of you, you may need to take some time and pray and say, okay, God, what is my next step? But if you're just really fuzzy or you're just looking for some practical steps, I want to offer two potential next steps. The first has to do with our upcoming summer semester of groups. Starting June 1st, we're kicking off a brand new semester of groups. And one of the groups that we're offering is a group called I Want Was Broke, But Now I'm Not. It is an insanely practical group, and it meets on Mondays at 7 p.m. It's a Zoom group, so you can enjoy it from the comforts of your home. Now, space is limited in this group, and so if you're not available on Mondays or if the group fills up and you're not able to be a part of it, I have a second thing for you to think about. If you enjoyed Andy Stanley's teaching, then what you need to know is that is part one of a four-part series that he did called If Money Could Talk. And here's the cool thing. The entire series is available for you on Right Now Media. Next Level pays for a subscription so that you can get Right Now Media for free. And many of you have Right Now Media, and many of you use it, whether it's in your personal Bible study or in a small group. But if you don't have Right Now Media, I want to tell you how you can get that for free. It's a gift that Next Level has purchased for you. Text Right Now Next to 41411. Right Now Next to 41411. And they'll prompt you and give you the steps on how to set up your Right Now Media account. And you can check out, and I would strongly encourage you to do that, parts 2, 3, and 4 of Andy Stanley's series, If Money Could Talk. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Next week, I'll be back as we kick off a brand new series. Now, let me give you a little teaser here. Next week's series is all about relationships. And in my opinion, during this pandemic, our relationships have been stretched because we've been spending a lot of time with those who are in our household and with our family. And we've also been missing some of our friends and some of the people that we see on a regular basis. And so if you're like me, it has been difficult, and it can be difficult to have healthy relationships when you're just spending so much time with the people that you love. So we're going to kick off a brand new series starting next week, all about relationships and how to have healthy relationships, whether it's with roommates, friends, coworkers, or family. It's a series that you don't want to miss, but I'm telling you this now because I would ask you that you would invite someone to check out our online service next week. Would you invite someone to check it out, whether it's through text or you email them, or even if you start a watch party through Facebook and invite some of your friends and family? Would you invite someone to join you as we kick off a brand new series all about relationships starting next week? Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.